You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for downloading these podcasts. I appreciate your questions. If you want to email me your questions or topics that you'd like to hear me weigh in on, that email is questions@drhoffman.net. Questions@drhoffman.net. So I want to talk to you about sperm quality today. In the setting of ultra-processed food consumption, does real food improve fertility? This is coming from the Natural Medicine Journal. And the study that they're talking about is from the journal Human Reproduction from this year. And it's about ultra-processed food consumption and semen quality parameters, and the objective is to determine if ultra-processed food consumption is associated with semen quality parameters. The key takeaway, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give it to you. Higher UPF consumption, UPF is ultra-processed food, was inversely associated with total sperm count, sperm concentration, and sperm motility of sperm in Spanish men of reproductive age. Now, this is a cross-sectional analysis, and investigators conducted this study using data from the first 200 healthy male participants. The ages are 28 plus or minus 5 years. So around there. And they were enrolled in the lead fertile study, which is lifestyle and environmental determinants associated with the seminogram and other parameters related to male fertility. And prior studies had used this cohort to measure organic contaminants and industrial pollutants in semen. Now, the study volunteers were excluded from participating for a variety of reasons, including chronic disease, reproductive disorders, or vasectomy, major organ transplantation, maybe cardiovascular disease, HIV or hepatitis infection, acute infections, ongoing inflammation, active cancer or a history of cancer, psychiatric disorders, endocrine diseases, use of antidepressants, anti-epileptics, immunosuppressant agents, and things with that within that parameter, or any weight loss that exceeds 5 kilograms. 1 kilogram is 2.2 pounds. Also excluded were those with a history of alcohol or drug abuse, or any condition that could potentially impede adherence to the study protocols. So the average age of these 200 participants was 28.4 years, and their average body mass index was 24.4. Note that a body mass index of 24.9 would put them into the overweight category. Okay, so the two parameters were compared, the dietary intake of ultra-processed food and test results of sperm quality. Now, the participants completed a validated food frequency questionnaire via telephone interviews. And this was part of how they collected the information. Secondary outcomes were possible in there. They were talking about other things that might also affect sperm quality. They collected general lifestyle information like smoking habits, physical activity, socio-demographic characteristics, age, education level, income, also through these questionnaires besides food consumption. So the key findings, sperm concentration were lower in participants in the highest tertile, the highest third of ultra-processed food consumption compared to the lowest. And investigators observed similar associations for sperm count when they analyzed ultra-processed food consumption per 10% increment from energy from that food consumption. So, quote, theoretically, replacing 10% of our energy from ultra-processed food consumption with 10% of energy from unprocessed or minimally processed food was associated with higher total sperm count, sperm concentration, total motility, progressive motility, and normal sperm forms. So the authors, just for the sake of transparency, the authors reported funding sources as from Spanish and European Union funding agencies, and no conflict appeared to exist. So those consuming sugar-sweetened beverages, sweets, soy, alcohol, caffeine, they had the lowest functioning sperm and sperm counts and everything that goes along with contributing to infertility. So a review in 2023 nicely sums up data on how dietary habits and specific foods impact sperm quality. And it reconfirmed that diets that were low in whole foods were associated with poor semen quality and low counts. And they report a similar impact for diets high in sugar-sweetened beverages, even dairy products, sweets, soy, alcohol, and caffeine. And other evidence suggests that environmental pollution, illicit drug use, smoking, alcohol consumption, dietary exposures, exposure to potential endocrine disrupting chemicals, you know, gender benders, psychological stress, and unhealthy diets are partly to blame for poor semen quality. And it's been theorized that avoiding such exposures might benefit fertility. Now, there's another interesting study from the European Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology and Reproductive Biology. And this was back a few years ago. Food intake, diet, and sperm characteristics in a blue zone. A Loma Linda study. Loma Linda, they follow Seventh-day Adventists, right? They follow a vegetarian diet. And the objective of this was this study examined the effect the lifelong vegetarian diet on male fertility and focus on vegetarians living in the Loma Linda blue zone. Loma Linda is one of the blue zones, a demographic known for life longevity. You know about the blue zones. The objective was to compare sperm characteristics of vegetarian with non-vegetarian males. So, this was an observational study, it was cross-sectional, and it was based on semen analyses of 474 males from the years 2009 to 2013. And patients characterized themselves as either lifelong lacto-ovo-vegetarians, and the number of people was 26. That's a vegetable diet with dairy and egg products. Vegans, that was 5 of them, strictly vegetables with no animal product. Or non-vegetarians, that was 443 of the sample population, which had no diet restrictions. And sperm quality was assessed using computer-aided sperm analyzer, all kinds of things that they do. Don't need to go down the rabbit hole of explaining all that. They did it. So, lacto-ovo-vegetarians, which are egg-eating and dairy-eating vegetarians, that's what lacto-ovos stands for, lacto-ovo-vegetarians had lower sperm concentration versus non-vegetarians. Total motility was lower in the lacto-ovo, vegetarian, and vegan groups versus non-vegetarians. Vegans had the lowest hyperactive motility. Sperm strict morphologies were similar in the three groups, and the conclusion is the study showed that the vegetables-based food intake decreased sperm quality. In particular, a reduction in sperm quality in male factor patients would be clinically significant and would require review. Furthermore, inadequate sperm hyperactivation in vegans suggested compromised membrane calcium selective channels. However, the study results are cautiously interpreted and more corroborative studies are needed. True, it would be good also if the sample size was bigger, right? This was only in the 400s. So we know that improper diet and defective nutrition has been linked to over 60 diseases in humans, including cancer, obesity, diabetes, inflammatory responses. And there's been considerable interest in the impact of a strict vegetarian diet on improving health.
Right.
So individuals on a vegetarian diet or vegetarians, they practice abstinence from a consumption of meat, red meat, poultry, seafood, and all other animal flesh for a variety of reasons, cultural, environmental, economic, all that, religious. And variations to the vegetarian diet, as you know, exist as ovo-vegetarians that consume eggs and lacto-ovo-vegetarians that consume both dairy and eggs. And you would find this almost, contrarian to see that a blue zone like Loma Linda, the vegetarian diets of Seventh-day Adventists, where they tout longevity, that they would have lower sperm counts of all populations, right? So here's the thing. Most of the studies of fertility and the effect of an increased soy-containing diet do not extend past 3 months. You have to know that those who are vegetarian and vegan relied heavily on soy because soy is a complete protein. It's easily accessible. It's easy to include in the diet, to season well, and enjoy consumption of. But most studies of fertility and the effects of an increased soy-containing diet do not extend past 3 months of observation. And the amount of soy intake varies significantly from one study to another. And we have to consider the possibility that maybe long-term exposure to isoflavones and phytoestrogens in soy would have a more significant impact on male reproductive cells. In particular, lifelong exposure to estrogen-like compounds in soy would have a more potent effect during puberty. And it is this idea that fosters male factor studies in men who have been vegetarians for the majority of their lives, and who were also having issues with infertility. The populations at the infertility center where this study was conducted included Seventh-day Adventists whose religion supported lifelong vegetarianism. And this location has been designated a Blue Zones National Geographic Demographic Region where people have long lifespans. Right? It almost is counterintuitive that a blue zone like this and showing poor sperm quality or less sperm. This is an important point to study the possible link between diet and human lifespan. California Seventh-day Adventist vegetarians eat an average of 3.5 servings of meat substitutes, which usually contain soy, per week. So on average, they're eating 3.5 servings of meat substitutes that are soy-based per week. And the objective of this case control observational study was to investigate the effect of the vegetarian diet on sperm characteristics in male patients attending a fertility clinic. Now, this information from this study would assist practitioners in counseling patients on different choices of healthy diets promoting male fertility. Now, I see a confounder here. If they're consuming 3.5 servings of meat substitutes, let's name names like Impossible or Beyond Beef or any of those kind of things. Those are also full of junky ingredients, aren't they? Now, it is true that there is the estrogenic impact of soy products due to their phytoestrogens. Not great for men, right? Because it can compete with their own circulating testosterone and maybe blunt it on a biochemical level. These are all things to consider when you're assessing fertility, right? Sperm count and all of that. And a lot of these meat substitutes are ultra processed. Coming back to the first study here that I just spoke to you about, sperm quality and ultra processed food consumption. And maybe these meat alternatives that they're eating, even in this blue zone, because, you know, diets are changing. It's not like maybe 100 years ago, we didn't have Beyond Beef and meat substitutes and these hydrolyzed vegetable proteins. These are also gluten sources and monosodium glutamate sources. And, oh boy, there's all kinds of things going on. So that has to be playing a factor, I would think. The other thing is perhaps the largest factor and easiest to assess reason sperm counts are dropping is that body mass index is closely associated with semen quality. So increasing BMI, which you know 60% of American adults are now overweight or obese, increasing BMI is associated with increases in fat tissue, which is predictive of aromatase activity that in turn leads to an increase in estradiol, right? That aromatase activity is taking circulating testosterone and turning it into estrogen. It's feminizing, right? So there's a cascade of events that impacts hormones that causes this to happen. And as obesity rates are increasing globally, perhaps we need not dig deeper to explain this low sperm phenomenon. It may be that any diet that can help promote weight loss will improve semen quality. Or conversely, any diet associated with increasing BMI is bad news for semen production, Blue Zone or not. So, during the period in which sperm counts have dropped, the consumption of ultra-processed foods has increased rapidly. Such foods are characterized by their poor nutritional quality and the inclusion of ingredients such as sugar, food additives, additional salt, factory-made trans fats. And we know that numerous papers have linked ultra-processed food consumption to various chronic diseases: hypertension, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer. It is not clear whether this link is due to the presence of something in the ultra-processed food, I would say that it is, or the absence in ultra-processed food of some valuable nutritional factor, or it could simply be a combination of factors that leads to weight gain. So the general consensus, the general rule of thumb could be: if you can't make it in your own kitchen, don't eat it. If you can't make it in your own kitchen, don't eat it. We're talking about whole foods, good quality, nutrient-dense foods that is not highly processed. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In. This is Intelligent Medicine.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mutin, registered dietitian nutritionist. I maintain a private practice and see patients regularly. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone and telehealth consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information, and to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.